Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry, addictions and mental health, elections and laws, victims' rights, and criminal justice reform. The program presents a unique understanding of the criminal justice system, addresses the root causes of crime, and challenges the status quo. It seeks to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safer, healthier, and more just society.
Prison Pipeline airs on Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Check us out every week. If you miss an episode, you can stream it later. Just go to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. More info about upcoming shows and events related to the prison community can be found on our Facebook page, Prison Pipeline. Be sure to like us.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, July 13th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming up, 15 minutes of news, comment, and jiggery pokery with me, Chris Andre, for KBOO News. Today's guests are James Henry, back from Friday's discussion to revisit the Greek crisis, which is in fact a created crisis. What's been created is misery and suffering for the Greek people, all in the name of private profit. There are billions of dollars sitting in Swiss banks. Taxes is a tax haven for very, very wealthy. Greece is 1%. To stash their money. The Swiss will not divulge any of the numbers here, and it's not likely ever that the Greek people will see their rightful, they created this wealth. They'll never see any rightful return on all of their hard work. And meanwhile, the vicious global propaganda machine grinds on. Oh, it's their own fault. They were spendthrift. They took all the poor Germans' money and blew it on wine, women, and song. No, that is not what happened. But what is happening right now is the privatization and the austerity in the name of austerity measures that is going to rip the Greek economy, culture, and people to pieces. That's about it. It really is. I speak these words with my eyes shut because it's such an unbearable scenario that unfolds. We also will be speaking with Steve Horn. More greenwashing. We've got another greenwash story on the DeSmog blog. Again, I commend your attention to the DeSmog blog, where you can find out a lot of breaking environmental stories that you just do not find anywhere else. That's where I found it. And there is, of course, news out of Wisconsin. Possibly we will have Robert Craig joining us to talk a little bit about that. Of course, Scott Walker would be a truly disastrous president, and he and Jeb Bush going mano a mano will be certainly a sight to behold as we move forward in the slow, agonizing process that is American election cycles. So moving into it, we should have James Henry up right now. Good morning, James, and welcome back to KBOO. It's great to have you on. Today we've got a number of guests, a lot of news happening. I just cannot pass up the opportunity, though, to speak with you again and hear your analysis of what took place. Basically nothing. The Greeks ended up accepting austerity measures in all for more bailouts, and the sustaining, the propping up of Greek banks, which is a drop in the bucket compared to what was spent propping up American banks. Anyway, what happened?
Well, I think the Greek prime minister and his negotiating team decided to accept terms that were, you know, amounting to unconditional surrender. You know, they had gone to the trouble of having this referendum just a week ago, and you know, as a reward for that, they got terms that were far worse than the terms that were rejected by that referendum. I mean, basically, you had what I call the rush block, the kind of, you know, coalition led by Germany of Nordic countries, countries like Finland that's not even a member of NATO and has got a member of its coalition party that's basically far to the right and anti-EU. You know, the Danes, the Dutch, Estonia, Latvia, the you know, Slovakia, these you know, kind of Nordic countries that are, you know, couldn't, many of them Eastern European in origin, have no time for the left-wing government in Greece, you know, could not get any, you know, sort of vote through their parliaments if they had to get a substantial debt relief. So, you know, basically they won. Greece at the end of the day was isolated. It had no allies. There was with Russia, they didn't come to anything. They didn't, you know, Greece is not interested in becoming a member of the Putin camp.
No.
And, you know, so at the end of the day, I think they were kind of almost beyond humiliated in terms of what they've been subjected to, 50 billion euro privatization. They're immediately supposed to sequester state government property to the tune of 50 billion euros. There's not even clear that they can find 50 billion euros worth of assets that might be privatized. You know, certainly not by Wednesday. But the, you know, the measures take how many farms can be on a square block. I mean, you know, Greek stores have to remain open on Sundays. You know, labor unions have to, you know, they're going to take a look at labor laws, meaning, you know, cracking down on labor unions. This whole thing has a stench of a real kind of right-wing repression program.
It's, well, yeah, it seems that the whole
imposing, you know, yeah, it's if we were imposing sanctions on Greece, and they're the NATO member, you know, they're the country that we desperately need not to be a failed state. I mean, they're receiving about every day now about 1,000 refugees from, you know, Syria and the Middle East. This is a, you know, a disaster. I mean, what it really shows, though, is more about Europe than it does about Greece. I mean, 70 years after World War II, this is not a United States of Europe. You can't imagine, you know, a citizen. I live in New York. I can't. Can't imagine New Yorkers deciding to vote against giving aid to Mississippi because Mississippi is a poor state.
Punishment.
You know, to punish them, or to, you know, to make lousy loans to them, to New York banks, and then insist that the banks repay while, you know, the poor Mississippians have.
And isolate them economically from, you know, making it absolutely and with a great finality that they aren't going to be able to do anything about their economy. We've got to go. We've got another guest coming up. I apologize. Yeah. It's a very, very short program, 15 minutes in all, if that.
Right.
But I very, very much look forward to speaking with you again. Perhaps we will do a longer one later on in the week. I would very much like to arrange that if you could.
Well, after the stuff settles, we'll see what happens.
Yes. Thank you so very much for your time. Right. We really appreciate it. My guest, of course, has been the terrific James Henry, and we look forward to having you back on the show in the very near future. Steve Horn is now with us from the Smog blog because we've got another greenwash story. They just pop up everywhere, and sometimes they don't. And the reason for that is people believe it. It's propaganda. People buy it. We ceased to be citizens years ago. We're nothing but consumers. If something is happening, handed to us, is marketed to us, we buy it. And that's what happens all the time. If it were not for investigative reporting, such as you find on places like the Smog Blog and all over the place, C4 in particular has been a great guest on our show, bringing us these things, we wouldn't know about it. But right now we've got we have one going on right here, right in the Pacific Northwest, biomass. Jeff Merkley has signed on with that. They're demanding that they get what they want, and now we've got another greenwash happening popping up further to the center of the country, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because if we don't talk about it on this show, where else do we find it? Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good to be on, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, here we go once again. This cover up with frills and ruffles on it being sold to the American people as yet another good idea. Can you talk a little bit about this one, this latest that you write about on the Smog Blog?
Yeah, for sure. So Shell Oil, which of course is a huge multinational oil and gas company that most listeners are probably familiar with, because it's where a lot of people buy their gas for at the pump at their stations. Shell, their CEO, the position is the director of their upstream subsidiary companies in the Americas. His name is Marvin Odom. He was at a forum in Toronto last week talking to the co-founder of Bloomberg News. His name is Matt Winkler. He co-founded Bloomberg with Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City and the owner of Bloomberg's empire. At this forum, he told Matt Winkler, after being questioned about the potential for Shell getting into the renewable, whatever that means, renewable energy industry, that could mean biomass, that could mean solar, that could mean wind, it could mean almost anything. It's greenwashing in of itself, and it's a conversation for another day. But that said, he asked him sort of, is it appropriate to call the company Shell Oil, given that the company is moving so much toward gas, that means towards fracking, that means especially towards liquefied natural gas, so I explained in the article. And even in the question, Matt Winkler said you could almost call Shell Oil Shell Gas now, because you're the company.
Or they could call
so
it Shell NG.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so under that question, he answered, yes, in the future, might be appropriate to change our name and take the oil out of the name. And so
Kitty Video. That would be good, too.
Right. They can call it almost anything. But basically, I see this as if Shell were to do something like that, it would be akin to what BP tried to do in the past. That is, instead of calling it British Petroleum, they rebranded themselves as Beyond Petroleum. And of course, their business model didn't change at all. They're still doing all the offshore oil and gas. They're still doing fracking. They're still doing tar sands up in Alberta. They're still involved all around the world in buying up oil and gas reserves. Shell is the exact same thing. And so the biggest thing that was interesting about Shell right now, if you look at what's going on in the news, is that Shell, of course, is the pioneer of Arctic drilling right now, pushing very hard to do Arctic drilling, fighting in Seattle right now over access to its port to secure the port as a place to park its gear that's going to use for Arctic drilling. And then on top of that, earlier this year, Shell, they bought BG Group, or British Gas Group. And BG Group is a company that has a partnership with Cheniere, the first company in the United States to secure access to exporting liquefied natural gas, which it will begin doing at the end of the year. So Shell is obviously 100% still involved in the North American oil and gas industry, despite the fact that in the United States it is considering taking oil out of its name. It doesn't mean at all that it will stop being involved in extracting or selling oil and gas.
Shoil. They could hide it. They could bury it. They could call themselves the Shoil Company. Nobody would ever notice, right?
Right. And I mean, I guess like even, I talked about gas and I talked about a little bit of oil in the Arctic, but it's amazing because this interview was with a guy who's affiliated with Bloomberg. And if you just look at Bloomberg's coverage in the past week, they had a previous interview with Marvin Odom a week earlier at the Aspen Ideas Festival, another one of these places where powerful people convene. He talked about Shell's oil plants. He talked about that they had just secured access to drill for oil in the deep offshore Gulf of Mexico in the Appomattox field. So that's like, you know, a week before on the same exact news network, he's talking about how excited he is about its oil finds. He described it as a, quote, world-class oil and gas project. And then a week later, talking to Bloomberg, he's talking about how they may take oil out of its name. So they really, it shows even the lack of accountability in a network, a news network that just a week earlier was involved in an interview talking about Shell's oil plan. Didn't even question him on the same, the interview they did the week before.
We're fresh out of time, as always. Steve, thank you again so very much for the conversation. These people are shameless. They take your breath away. Thank you so much for that, my guest. Of course, has been Steve Horn with the Smog Blog. We also had the privilege of speaking once again with James Henry. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, July 13, 2015. Kate Welsh engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Should it be harder for landlords to evict their tenants for no reason at all?
Should safe and healthy homes come before the interests of private investment?
Is the rent too damn high?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, join us for the next Portland Renters Assembly.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of the Portland Renters Assembly, a gathering of people united by the burden of rent and committed to housing as a human right.
The next two assemblies are on Sunday,